And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, how the hell are you?
I'm doing good, Shane. I don't know what weirded you out more, Shane. That's why I had to. We got to start with this. Memphis fan shitting himself at the game, or Vince Young's little Bo Peep outfit for some damn Texas play thing going on here?
Okay, first off, I don't know what you're talking about, the Memphis player. Or is it a Memphis player or Memphis fan?
You know, obviously Tennessee and Memphis played in basketball game the other day.
Yeah.
One of the fans, I believe is a Memphis fan, he got up from his seat and he was in the, you know, just the walkway or whatever. And
oh,
he
no.
Shat all over the place.
Oh, no. Oh, God, that's horrible. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I did see the Vince Young picture, and he looked like shit. So I'm going to go Vince just because it feels like he's fallen from graces. You know, this guy, he's probably going to get made fun at the office for a while. You know, they're going to come up with some new names for him, like Shit Break and stuff like that. But, you know, not a smaller audience. I mean, everybody got to see Vince Young, you know, the at one point, first round pick, everybody had high expectations, and here he is looking horrible in drag. So if you haven't got a chance to look at this picture, because I'll tell you right now, when I get done, I'm going to try to find this Memphis fan video that I was unaware of, but you have to check out the Vince Young picture too.
Yeah, for anyone that's not seen it, he looks like he's going for maybe like a Dolly Parton from the 1970s look. He's got a big, fluffy, feathery hat that's pretty it's pretty wild there. Anyone from the Knoxville area is familiar with the carousel. I think I've seen that hat in there a couple times. He's mm-hmm. got double D boobs here, and he's flashing the horns hook'em thing. I mean, I think he just destroyed the hook'em.
Yes, that fan base can't get rid of that picture quick enough. Oh, I love it. The fan going for two.
All right, Shane, enough of that nonsense. Let's jump into some SEC action. Let's go around the league.
Let's do it.
Now let's go around the league. Around the league.
We haven't decided how we're going to play the guys, so, and I wouldn't tell you if I did. So, you know, I don't mind you asking a question, but I don't need to answer it.
No, I mean, I'll be whistling Rocky Top by the end of the week. All our play. I mean, it's just like, right? I mean, just hear it over and over, and, you know, like every other or every third song, it'll roll through within the crowd noise that we play at practice. So you just you get used to it. It's a catchy tune, right? I mean,
this game's going to be a street fight. This game's going to be a street fight. I mean, some of you guys don't know who Kimbo Slice is. Hopefully you do. And you go back to it, man, this isn't a sanctioned fight. This is a street fight. I mean, this is the SEC. So, man, it's time. It's time to put on the hard hat, lunch pail. Let's get to work.
All right, Shane, I had to start with this topic first more than any other. This is kind of my main talking point for this episode. But I'm trying to figure out what in the hell UCF is thinking here. And for anyone that is unaware, apparently Florida Gators, they've offered a 2-for-1 deal with Central Florida. We all know UCF, you know, they're on a 25-game win streak. They complain every year how they can't get in the college football playoff, but they don't play. I don't think they've played a single top 25 team during that whole stretch aside from Auburn last year in the Peach Bowl. But apparently Florida has offered them a 2-for-1, which means they get to host UCF twice, and then they will return the favor, play at UCF one of those years out of the 3-year deal. And UCF is shutting that down, apparently. It just has no interest in doing that. What are your thoughts on that, Shane, first of all? And I'm even surprised that an SEC program is willing to go to UCF, not to say that, you know, they don't think they can beat them. Certainly, I think Florida would have, you know, the edge in talent there, but you just don't see a lot of SEC programs go to non-Power 5 schools to play a game. So I can't believe UCF would turn this deal down.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. I got excited when I heard this news, Mike, just because it's been woe is me for 2 years, and now the dirt's coming out. Dan, of all people's like, hell, I wanted to play him, but they didn't want to do it. So it kind of makes me want to dive in that inbox and see what other teams they've turned down, you know, because they've obviously had some opportunities here.
Yeah, so you referenced it there, Shane. Let's go ahead and jump to Dan Mullen's comments on this. This was from a recent press conference. So he was asked about it. And like you said, Shane, he's up for the game. You know, he wants to play UCF. He's got no problem traveling down there. But I think aside from Nick Saban, and I don't even know how much input he really has on stuff like this, it's not really up to the coaches. It's up to the administrators of Florida and whoever they're dealing with to finalize negotiations. So, you know, Dan Mullen didn't really necessarily weigh in on the 2-for-1, you know, if that was his idea or what. But this is nothing new. He's been at Mississippi State, obviously, a long time. So that's something they did there. So here's Dan Mullen's thoughts on this UCF proposed 2-for-1 series.
Discussions about playing other Power 5 schools. Who would fit? Do we want to play home and homes with more Power 5 schools? I know we already have one. I mean, you look at next year's schedule. Non-conference, we play Miami and Florida State. I don't know many people are going to be able to match that resume of how tough a schedule that'll be non-conference-wise. We have all those discussions. And I think he said, I mean, UCF, I mean, like we did with USF, they're in that league. I mean, if you're a non-Power 5 school, I have no problem. I'd love, but they want to, I think we offered them a 2-for-1, like we do with most schools in their position, which I think is actually really a good deal that, you know, they'd have the opportunity to have an SEC school play at their place. Would potentially be a big deal for them. I know I've done it that way. When I was Mississippi State, we did it. Played some 2-for-1s as well with schools and smaller conferences like them. Get the opportunity to have an SEC school is a big plus for them. So I think Scott brought it up to them. If they want to try to toughen their schedule, that'd be great. It'd be a good opportunity for them, I think, if they wanted to take it.
All right, Shane. I mean, I think he said it all. I mean, I don't understand. I still don't understand what's the issue. And he's right. I remember – trying to think of the team he's referring to here, but I remember Mississippi State traveling to, I want to say Southern Miss, they may have even done South Alabama. I don't think South Alabama, but it was Southern Miss for sure was one of them. They did one of these 2-for-1s, and this is a pretty standard deal. And I don't know. When you look at it, Shane, Florida, University of Florida does not need Central Florida.
No,
but Central Florida needs SEC programs to make their games marquee. And if you want to go a step further, I thought this was a really good point I saw on Twitter, but you know, this was even before my time, before your time, Shane, but Florida State used to be an independent school and yep. They couldn't get anyone to come to their school. And you know what they did, Shane? They just went to their place. They would go to LSU. They would go to Nebraska. They would go up north. I mean, they would face these teams 4, 5, 6 times. They never even got one return trip. That's kind of what you got to do. You got to build up your respectability. You can't just, if Florida State would have said, well, hell, we're not going to LSU unless you guarantee LSU coming to Florida State when we're an independent school, essentially. I mean, that they would have never rose to be in the ACC like they are now.
Exactly, exactly. And so they're obviously getting opportunities to play some of these Power 5 teams, and they're turning them down, and they got called out on it. So I would be interested now going forward, teams like Alabama, I mean, especially Alabama, you know, here they are, they're claiming the national championship and things like that. Man, if I was at Bama, I'd send them an invite now, a 2-for-1 deal, and I would make it public. So UCF cannot turn it down and just beat the brakes off of them here in about 4 years. So, you know, I just think it's hilarious, like I said, because they've just been so pity party and we're always left out. But they've had apparently opportunities to play relevant teams, and they're turning them down. Mm-hmm. Maybe because it is a 2-for-1, but you got to remember, you're not in the ACC. You know, you're nobody right now. I mean, your school is founded in 1979. It takes a little while to build it. You're getting yourself on the map. You got to take these tough teams to make yourself relevant. So I'm also one thing I did consider and probably miss a hell of an opportunity here. You know, UCF did miss a game against North Carolina because mm-hmm. of the hurricane, and South Carolina missed a game. How awesome would it have been to have South Carolina play UCF that final week during the SEC championship week? Because here you got South Carolina wanting to prove something. You know, they're on the upkick, and UCF could have got a relevant game there mm-hmm. at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Shane. I wonder if that was discussed at all. I don't really know, but that is one to think about. Mm-hmm. But circling back to this 2-for-1 deal, while we were talking here, I reminded myself, Florida actually has a 3-game deal coming up with South Florida, University of South Florida, which is mm-hmm. in the same league as UCF, the same level. Basically, they're obviously not the same program, but you know, by all intents and purposes, they kind of are. And they've agreed to a 2-for-1 for Florida. This was announced last offseason. So now UCF is turning around, I guess, and saying they're better than USF. I mean, I don't know. It's just illogical to me. And like I said, you know, one thing we didn't really hit on, Mississippi State, yes, they've done series like this in the past, but you just don't see, you know, I don't mean to disparage, you know, some SEC teams here, but the premier teams simply do not go to these UCF games. I mean,
yeah,
you're not going to see Tennessee schedule any. You're not going to see Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Texas A&M, Georgia. I mean, they just do not go to these schools. I don't care if it's 2-to-1. I don't even think they do 3-for-1 because they know they could just, you know, they want to maximize their home opportunities. So for Central Florida to get an opportunity to host Florida, I just can't imagine that they would turn that down unless, you know, they're just full of shit like we kind of know they are, and they don't care yeah. about making their schedule tougher.
That's exactly what it is, man. It's easier to claim national championships that aren't real than it is to play tough teams, you know? So that's all this is. And I'm telling you, man, oh, my God, LSU, please pull this thing off. I'm only asking one thing, Coach O, and is to go down and hang 30, 40 points on these guys.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the more interesting bowl games, of course, in the Fiesta Bowl, Shane. Looking forward to that one, but we still got several weeks before we get there, unfortunately.
Yeah. I will say this. They did come out. I don't know. I saw an article on this. You know, Dan did say that Florida and UCF, this thing was I don't know. They were discussing it to be a done deal. Andy Seeley on Twitter did come out and say, I feel compelled to jump in on this topic. He reminded them that no, quote unquote, offer to play was on the table. The Florida AD said that they would be open to discussing it. So I think that they talked about it, that there was probably no formal, you know, hey, let's do this thing 2-for-1. But obviously, you know, some of these teams are saying, hey, guys, we asked them. They said they didn't want it because maybe they're expecting, like you said, a 1-on-1. But UCF is not there.
All right, Shane, so let's move on to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where obviously on our last episode we hit on the fact that the Crimson Tide had brought on DJ Durkin. I guess you got to be careful with the word you use here because they're saying they did not hire him, but they have brought him on, not in a full-time capacity. But I just thought this was interesting, Shane, because PR 101, if you want to just kind of move on from an incident, you got some bad information you have to publicly release. You release it Friday evening, Shane, and that's what old Alabama did. They took them over 24 hours to have a comment to the DJ Durkin news, but here is a comment released via Alabama. This is Nick Saban on the decision to bring on DJ Durkin. DJ Durkin is spending a few days with our staff in Tuscaloosa from a professional development standpoint. He has not been hired in any capacity at Alabama. He is simply observing our operation, as many other coaches have done through the years. And like I said, Shane, they released that at right about 8 p.m. Eastern time, Friday evening.
Oh, man. I still wonder how all this happened. You know, did he reach out to Bama? Did, you know, Papa Saban reach out to him? And I mean, his phone must have been blowing up, man. Boosters and, you know, the AD and saying, what the hell are you doing? We're getting a lot of backlash off this thing. So just goes to show that it's going to be a while for old DJ finds him another job.
Well, apparently, Shane, they share the same agent, the same coaching agent, Jimmy Sexton, the SEC's most popular man. So I think a lot of people are connecting the dots there. And I thought the most interesting theory I saw on all this came from Peter Burns of the SEC Network. But he, and this is just his speculation here, but he said he believed that Jimmy Sexton may have asked Saban to get DJ Durkin on, even if it's not in a full-time capacity here, just to kind of test the waters to see if there would be a negative backlash. But I don't know if I'm necessarily buying that, because I think Saban is smart enough to know that there would have been a backlash. So I don't think he would have just added him on for a trial run of backlash for old DJ Durkin.
Yeah.
And I also think that while Jimmy Sexton has made Nick Saban, you know, the richest man in college football, I don't know that he's really indebted to him to kind of risk his own, his own track record to do this. So I think maybe Peter Burns is kind of protecting Nick Saban here. I think this is the only man who makes decisions on Alabama staff is obviously Nick Saban. And I think he chose to do this. I think he chose poorly here. And he probably was hoping that no one found out about this is what I would guess.
And that's all this is. He's trying to get on Saban's rehab camp and work his way back up, because that's what people do. If they have bad years, you can always go down to Bama, you know, work for a couple years and land a head coaching job somewhere. So that makes sense to me. Whether that's true or not, it could have just been a, hey, Sabe, can you do a favor for me? You know, I've helped you out a lot. And, yeah, sure, bring him down here. But as soon as they start getting them phone calls, it's like, we're going to roll a statement out. He's just visiting.
Well, the only other news I have here on Alabama, Shane, Josh Jacobs, one of their running backs there, tweeted something out sometime last week. I don't know the specific date, but it was something cryptic like, I'm just thinking about my family or taking care of my family. And a lot of Alabama fans ran with that and thought that immediately meant that he was leaving school early to go to the NFL. Mm-hmm. And he said that's not necessarily the case. He said that had nothing to do with his NFL intentions. But I just thought that was interesting how you got to be careful what you read into a damn tweet that you don't even know what it's in reference to.
Yeah.
But I saw there's some analyst, I don't even know who it was, because it was not someone that I had ever heard of before. He listed Josh Jacobs as his number one NFL running back prospect. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to ask you on that. I mean, I thought that was, you know, I don't mean to diminish Josh Jacobs, because I think he's damn awesome. But I mean, he doesn't even start at Alabama. Could you see him as a number one running back in the NFL draft?
No, I don't. I mean, this is going to be a heavy running back class, I think. And, somebody that doesn't have, I mean, I think he had potential. I mean, it's one of those situations he could have been a late first rounder, mm-hmm. and you wouldn't have batted an eye. But coming out of this draft, I don't think that he would have, unless he just really shined at, when they did their camps and stuff.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't even think he'd be number one on his team, because you look at Damian Harris, mm-hmm. and I think if there's one guy that, we've not really seen the production from him necessarily during his senior year, but that's probably good for him because it keeps his mileage low for the upcoming, you know, NFL career. But damn, he's got everything you want. He's got explosiveness. He can block, he can catch. He's just a tough runner. I mean, he's number one on my board for running backs.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like I said, this class is pretty deep. So, mm-hmm. I think he'd be rushing it if he tried to go this year.
All right, Shane, speaking of the NFL draft, we got a running back here that has committed to leaving school early. Here's old Benny Snell, our boy. He declared himself eligible for the 2019 NFL draft, and he's got a little hype video.
Did it with a hype video. Way to go, Benny.
It's crazy how fast 3 years can go by.
Snell, that freshman, what a future.
Now, here I am. think about the end of this ride. All praise to the Most High. I give glory to Him. To my family, you have been there every step of the way. I can never show you enough love for that. To Mr. Barnhart, thank you for supporting us. To Coach Stoops, Coach Merrill, Coach Graham, and all my coaches, thank you for believing in me and helping me become the player and man I am today. To my strength coaches and trainers, thank you for always getting me ready. To my teammates, I am proud to call you my brothers. To my big blue wall, thank you for being the best O-line a running back could ask for. To the BBN, you've become a part of my family. You took a kid in from Ohio and made Kentucky feel like home. But there comes a time you have to leave home to build a life of your own. That's what I'm about to do. I have decided to enter the NFL draft and pursue a dream I've had as long as I can remember. I'll be taking some of the best memories of my life with me. The first touchdown, the last, the broken tackles, the hurdles, the snail feasts, the celebrations, the wins.
Oh my gosh, I feel amazing. It's a great day every time I get to see you.
The records.
Nobody in school history with more rushing touchdowns than this man.
Overcoming adversity, proving doubters wrong, building a program, leaving a legacy for my teammates to carry on. You might be wondering what this means for the Citrus Bowl. Am I playing?
Snail, yeah.
I have unfinished business. Whatever I start, I make sure I finish. I got one more chance to wear that uniform. Bet I make it count.
Thoughts on that, Shane? I mean, I thought this was kind of the obvious decision. A tough physical running back like Benny, I don't think you really want him to come back. I mean, obviously Kentucky would have loved to have him back, but
yeah.
I think if you're being, you know, honest with yourself, you got to tell a guy like that, you know, get what you can out of your body while you can. You know, if you really got to, in the NFL, you really got to make it to that second contract. And I would always, any running back, I would pretty much advise to just go to the NFL as soon as you can. I just think that's the smart decision.
Yeah, I would venture to say the 3 years that he's been playing, he's probably had the most touches of any athlete. So, I mean, to come back another year and put yourself through that or maybe even more, you know, it could potentially hurt his draft stock. So, yeah, Benny's done a lot for the University of Kentucky. And, I mean, you got to be – I mean, there's a part of you that's probably a little hurt that he's going on, you know, especially in his video. He talks about, you know, he does everything he starts, he finishes, but – you know, he kind of, you know, he is leaving early, but he is coming back for the bowl game. So that's cool. So, you know, he's going to give him one more game up there in Kentucky.
I want to get your thoughts on this, Shane, because when I saw this video, I'm not going to read you my tweet here because I don't have it in front of me, but it was basically like, you know, the SEC's best running back has announced he's leaving. And this is a position that I've held coming into the year. I thought Benny Snell was the best running back in the SEC. I don't think he did anything to diminish that, in my opinion. But what was so interesting, Shane, for whatever reason, Texas A&M Twitter got a hold of my tweet, and they've just been ripping me a new asshole ever since then. They're all about Travion, and I just think it's interesting because it's not like I said Travion sucks or he's not in a conversation or you know, he doesn't have a future. I mean, like, I didn't even mention him or diminish him, I don't think. I mean, I think Travion Williams is a hell of a back. And, you know, he and Benny were both first team all SEC by the coaches and the AP. And I think that's the right two. Do you take issue at all with me having Benny number one? And just what are your thoughts on that whole controversy?
No, not really. Just because, I mean, Benny was such a focal point of Kentucky's offense that, you know, if they didn't have Benny, there's no way they would have near the same record. I honestly believe that Texas A&M has a better offense, and that helped Travion have a better year. So if you were to take one running back and switch him with the other, I think they're both going to be productive, and Benny probably would have led the league in rushing this year if he was on Texas A&M because they wouldn't have been so one-dimensional. You know, they wouldn't – I mean, Benny met 8-9 in the box just about every time he ran the ball, so that made him a better athlete in my opinion.
Yeah, and that was kind of the main thing they all came back at. I think Travion, I think he's got like 20 more yards total on the year. they're just like, obviously he's the better back. He beat him by yardage, but anyone that looks at stats to decide, you know, who's the best player is, that's kind of a loser, in my opinion. I mean,
yeah,
we never say, you know, Washington State and Texas Tech. I mean, they don't have the best damn quarterbacks in the nation, do they? No, but they rack up them damn yards in that passing system under Mike Leach, you know. So, you know, you got to go beyond the stats sometimes. And like I said, I definitely was not trying to diminish Travion, because I would take him as a clear number two in my book. But like you said, man, Benny just put the team on his back so many times. And a lot of people didn't pay attention because Kentucky's not been good the last 2 years. They've obviously had a great year, but he's been doing this for 3 years. He's been doing it since the moment he stepped on that campus. And mm-hmm. I bet you, Shane, he may run a little slow in the draft stuff. He may fall to like the second or third round, maybe. I hope he doesn't. I'm just saying, I could see it. And I think he'll be another one that he's just going to have a damn chip on his shoulder, and he's going to just tear up NFL. That's what I think.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen any projections? I mean, have you seen him in any of the – I know Maylock and all them guys come out with these, but have you seen kind of where he's looking at getting drafted?
No, the only thing I've heard with him, Shane, was that, you know, he – had touched base with the NFL and they were going to give him an evaluation on where he should be drafted. And yeah. Then after that, he would make his determination. So I assume he got a good evaluation there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cause I've looked at a few of these things and honestly, I haven't seen Benny in the first round in any of them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's just cause he hasn't declared yet or something like that. But, do you think that he's a first round running back?
Probably not, Shane, but I think, mm-hmm. I think, like I said, second round, third round, I think that's probably where he's at. And, you know, there, again, there's no slight to him, but it's just, I'm not sure that he's 100%, you know, he's not like a guy he can catch the ball, but he's not going to split out wide and be a receiver. You know, right. I don't know if he's a three down back. I just don't know if he is that in the NFL. And in addition to that, I mean, they kind of devalue the running back position already in the NFL. But I think he's going to be a hell of a player. I think he could have a very similar career to like an Arian Foster. Final thing I got here on Kentucky, Shane. I just thought this was pretty funny. But our boy Cash Daniel, he was asked about, you know, being the underdog yet again. I don't think Kentucky, if they were a favorite in their bowl game, I don't even think it would feel right. You know, they have to be mm-hmm. an underdog. That's just the way this year has gone, and they keep proving people wrong. And he was asked about what are your thoughts on being the underdog. You know what he said, Shane?
What's that?
Okay, cool.
He's awesome, man.
Yeah, that's a guy that. I mean, he's like an all-timer for Kentucky. So, I mean, it goes from selling damn tickets in a Walmart parking lot to calling out the fans to just – and he's had a hell of a year on the field. So, I hope we see a lot more of him in the future.
Yeah, for sure. What year is he?
Yeah, Shane, so he's only a junior. So, hopefully he returns. Hopefully the WWE doesn't call early and he leaves school for that. he's got one final year to dominate here at Kentucky, I hope. So, yeah, we're looking forward to at least one more year here of Cash Daniel highlights and headlines.
Oh, yeah. And I hope they kick Penn State's ass, man. I mean, that's another one. I'm working on a bucket list here. And UCF is obviously first, but I think I'm going to have to go Penn State second. That's the one I want to see just get smoked here. So here's Franklin, you know. He's thinking he can beat on Kentucky this whole time. He goes up to Penn State, and then hopefully Kentucky can beat him. So that'd just be perfect.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Mississippi State, Starkville, where, you know, we hit on this on the previous podcast, but Tony Hughes back in Starkville, and he had a little press conference there. He talked with the media, and I just thought this was a cool little interview on his return here to Starkville.
Well, it's my home state. I love the people in the state of Mississippi. You know, my wife's from here, I'm from here, my family is here, my parents live here, and what a great opportunity to come back to a program where, you know, I had an opportunity to to do some special things while we were here. And it was kind of a no-brainer that and then when Coach gave me the opportunity to come back, I was really excited about it. I kept up with them, because a lot of the kids I had recruited and built a great relationship with them and their family, so I still pull hard for the Bulldogs. Well, I think there's some excitement. You know, it takes a day or two to kind of, you know, get around them. And, yesterday was the first day, you know, we were in meetings and different things like that. So today out on the practice field, you know, it was a little bit more, I guess, more comfort level for them. Hey, coach, how you doing? That type of thing. Then yesterday was kind of more or less, just kind of a meet and greet. I got my same old office, though. So it hadn't changed that much.
All right, Shane. So kind of like we hit on the previous podcast, I mean, this guy is Mississippi. I heard this is the best analogy I heard for this guy. I heard it on, I believe it was Bo Bounds' radio show out of Jackson, Mississippi there. But The way they put it there, there's not a damn person in the state of Mississippi that old Tony Hughes can't connect with on some level. You know, he went with somebody's, he went to church with somebody's mom, or, you know, your uncle worked for his cousin, or every damn back road of Mississippi, he knows everyone down that street. And I think he's just going to be invaluable there to Joe Moorhead moving forward. And, they already have a top 20 recruiting class. So this is a really good class for Mississippi State, but I think next year we're going to already see that the ratings jump up just due to old Tony Hughes being on the staff.
Oh, yeah, man. I saw an article that compared him to a Swiss Army knife. He could just do it all. So, and I mean, he was gone for three years, but he was just an hour down the road, probably recruiting the same kids that he's going to be talking to. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's already out there recruiting.
All right, Shane, final thing I got around here. Around the SEC, let's go to Auburn, where I don't want to say controversy because this was rather short-lived, but it was really interesting to see that Auburn's middle linebacker Deshaun Davis did not initially get invited to the Senior Bowl. That was odd for many reasons. You know, obviously he was the Tigers' leading tackler. He's a hell of a player. I think he made all SEC. And he's from Mobile, which is where the game's at. So it's like, why in the hell would they not pick this guy? Are they just picking people at random? But I think it turned out they had a very specific reason for not inviting him. They really wanted to set this up and make it kind of cool. So here's a little video. This is from Auburn's war room, basically, when Deshaun Davis finally did get the call to come to the Senior Bowl.
Coach, yeah, I'm looking for Deshaun Davis. Hey, Deshaun, this is Jim Nagy with the Reese's Senior Bowl. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, you want to come down and play in our 70th annual game?
Of course.
All right.
Hey, Mr. Nagy, I appreciate that, man.
Hey. Deshaun, we're excited to have you back down in your hometown of Mobile, man.
All right, Shane, so that was a pretty awesome way to get invited to the Senior Bowl. And, you know, for a hometown kid, that's going to be pretty cool for Davis.
Oh, yeah, man. And the fact that there's a lot of negativity, a lot of bad stuff going on down there. So to have something a little positive, get your players pumped up again, you know, I think that was important.
Yeah, and he actually had a press conference. I want to say it was the day after this video went viral. And, you know, being a Mobile kid, he mentioned that it's actually a really big game for his family, which I thought was kind of interesting. I guess that game is a lot bigger deal than people let on because, you know, I know a lot of people probably don't travel down to the damn Senior Bowl because, you know, it's not a real game. But, you know, aside from the NFL people that go down there, I mean, all 32 teams descend on that place for that week because it's such a big deal. But, you know, when you see that the stands are pretty packed and you got to figure who are those people, those are the locals, apparently. I mean, it makes sense, but I guess I never really thought of it. And Davis was talking about how not only his family, and it's his entire family, not just his immediate family, they have a huge cookout. He said they bus high schools and middle schools from all around the area to come to the game. They give them all tickets, and it's just quite the spectacle. So when you hear all that, you got to realize how special this moment was for this guy. And this year is as big as the celebration has been before. It's got to be at a whole new level this year with Davis being there.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. Where's that senior ball held at?
Mobile, Alabama.
Okay, right there, man. Okay. Yeah, no, this would be good for him. You know, Auburn feels like one of those teams that, you know, the year wasn't like they want it to be, obviously. But don't be surprised if a few of these guys excel at the next level. You know, I mean, it just feels like there's a couple on this team that you're going to be watching the NFL and be like, golly, I can't believe they're on my team. You know, we couldn't do anything with them.
All right, Shane, so that's all I've got for news around the SEC, but I got a couple recruiting nuggets here to hit on before we jump off. Starting with ESPN's number one player in the nation, Kayvon Thibodeau, and he's number two rated by 24/7 Sports, but I mean, it's not really a slight to say you're number one or number two. You're a damn all-star if you're that good. But he's a five-star defensive end, outside linebacker from near Los Angeles there, just north of Los Angeles. But he had Florida and Alabama among his finalists there. And on ESPN during the halftime of the New Mexico Bowl on Saturday, he committed to Oregon. I just want to get your thoughts on that, Shane, for of course, you know, staying on the West Coast, that makes some sense. But I just thought it was pretty interesting that you know, basically Alabama and Florida's top target spurning both those schools to go to Oregon, a school not known for defense.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising. So, I mean, just the fact that they got out of Alabama's grip, you know, I'm not saying that Florida is far behind, but, you know, Alabama is just, I mean, not only signing everybody they talk to, but they're also flipping people. So the fact they couldn't get this guy is kind of surprising because it is an NFL factory down there. So, but going to Oregon, you never know, man. I mean, the kid could have got on the campus and really loved all the Nike gear and all that stuff, you know, got pumped up about the colors, and maybe he grew up a fan. I'm not sure. That's the only thing about when you're out West, you never know how these guys are going to think.
Yeah. And I've lived in LA and I've visited Eugene. It's completely 180 different. So maybe he's just trying to stay out there, but a different environment completely, and he'll get it. But I thought the funniest reaction, Shane, when I tweeted this news out, a lot of people hit me up with basically the same joke, and it was, how in the hell did LSU not sign Thibodeau?
That's a good point, man.
All right, Shane, another news. Four-star from Tennessee, Eric Gray, he announced he will sign on Thursday. So we got the early signing period on Wednesday, obviously. So the next day, he's the three-time Mr. Football in Tennessee. That's never been done before. He's a finalist for USA Today National Player of the Year. So that's pretty big news there, Shane. But and it looks like he's going to go to Tennessee. But I know South Carolina's after him, I think. Mississippi State maybe. But it's looking like he's going to head to Tennessee and stay in there on Rocky Top. This was also kind of big news here. The number two athlete in the nation, Quavarius Crouch, the number one prospect from North Carolina, took, I guess it was supposed to be like a secret trip to Knoxville this weekend for their big recruiting event. He's posting videos and photos all over social media. So the secret's out, Shane. How big would it be for Tennessee to steal one of Clemson's top targets right from out from under him?
Oh, man, that would be freaking awesome. We owe him a few. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I had no idea he was up here. And then, I mean, you talk about just Twitter fire. You know, Tennessee just whooped up on Memphis in basketball, and then we find out this news. It's like everybody's on cloud nine. Not in a bowl game, but Tennessee is winning, son. Of course, I want to ask you something. Gray is committing the day after early signing day, right?
Well, it's technically early signing period, so it's a 3-day period.
Okay, all right. I'm an idiot, so I don't understand. So we got an early signing day, and we have a later signing day. There's 3 days of this early signing day, so we could get letters, but they can't commit. Like, let's say, for instance, it's day four, and they say, hey, I want to play for Florida Gators. So can I sign a paper and say, hey, I'm committed, or do I have to wait to the second signing day?
No, if you miss that 72-hour window, you have to wait till the second period. But I do believe I'm trying to think here. I think you could still enroll early.
Okay.
Which that typically comes, you know, at the tail end of December or early January. So I think that's kind of a little workaround that you can do it that way as well. And I think a number of players, this is really weird, and like this Crouch is among them, Shane. Apparently that's what he's going to do. He's going to be playing in the U.S. Army All-American game, which is, I think it's January 3rd this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to announce during the game whether he's going to Clemson, Tennessee, or Michigan, and then he will show up just wherever he says he's planning to go. I think that's his plan, and I've heard that's the plan for about a dozen other guys, so it's almost like I don't know, they want their own moment at the All-American games, which, hell, if they're in the position to do it, you know, by all means go ahead and do it. But it's just an interesting way of doing it. And I think some of them are going to sign during this early period, but they're going to tell the schools not to announce it so that they don't get it ruined during the All-American game. But
right,
it's just a weird deal. But every year recruiting gets weirder, Shane.
So you think, well, maybe they'll change it. If the players are wanting it this way, don't be surprised if it's just a window from, you know, day one to this day. This is when you can announce that you're going to a university or something like that. Do you see something like that maybe change in the future, or just stick? I mean, because they just changed this. It may stick around like this for a while.
Yeah, I think it's going to stay like this for quite a while because the coaches seem to like it. I think the vast majority of players seem to like it, because I'd say 75% of the guys signed last year during the early signing period. And I just think for the majority of these guys, Shane, they've been getting recruited for at least a year, most of them 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what's another, you know, 6 weeks really going to mean in that? I think most guys are just ready to get it over with.
Yeah.
And then also this news, Shane. So Texas A&M did lose a defensive back to Alabama this time last week, but they got a big flip on Sunday, I believe it was. It was either Saturday or Sunday, but the nation's number one junior college cornerback, Elijah Blades, was committed to Oregon. Now he's flipped that to Texas A&M. So A&M lost one, but they're getting another one here. So that's a pretty big win here for Jimbo Fisher.
Oh, yeah, man. That is huge.
And lastly, Shane, I don't know if this is recruiting or not. I hope it is for Missouri's sake, but Missouri assistant coach Vernon Hargraves arrested for missing his court date.
Uh-oh.
But if he's out there recruiting instead of going to court and getting arrested, I think that's a win, Shane, because he's damn dedicated.
That's right, man. You got to have priorities. And it's recruiting season. We got National Sign Day right around the corner, so I think he'll be fine. We can get this expunged when we get home.
All right, Shane, that's all I got on this one. You got anything before we hop off here?
Yeah, just a couple of things here real quick. I appreciate everybody jumping on the Capital One Mania, Bowl Mania. And I'd like to – we've had a few games under our belt, so I wanted to read the top three. Right now, current standings, of course, it is still really early. Shane has plenty of time to make up some ground here. But Taj 3 – is winning currently. He has 138 total points, 93% correct in his picks. WGAS is at 110, so right on the heels. And then Bulldog 888, a lot of eights, is at 101. So obviously, first place, you're going to get some prizes from us, but so will last place. So let's jump to that one real quick. Our boy Ollie is in last place right now. Cats and by 90. He's at 0. But he's not alone. He's with Pappy Van Tinkle and J.D. Dalton and Bucket 72. And 23rd spot is Cousin Shane with 5 total points and 12.3%. So I'm not far off there. So, and Mike, you're right in the middle. You're literally right in the middle. So it could go either way, because most of these bigger games, SEC teams, I'm sure that you've put more points on those. But
well, Shane, I did. That's correct, because I obviously know the most about the SEC teams. But one team, one game, I should say, that I did went pretty heavy on, I do recall, was the North Texas-Utah State game. And I felt really confident about it, Shane, because North Texas coach turned down head coaching offer at Kansas State, came back, his team's all fired up. Utah State's their entire staff left. They were down to four coaches, Shane, for this bowl game. So North Texas is going to dominate, you'd think, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And Utah State came out and whipped their ass good. So I don't know anything about these damn bowl pick'ems, but I'm just happy I'm not last after the first five games.
I'm happy I'm not last either, so I got one right so far. one other thing, appreciate everybody hanging out with us. I do got us a new five-star review on iTunes. I'd like to read that real quick.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road.
All right, this comes from Matt Drow, MattDrow on iTunes. Gave us five stars, titled Great Stuff. Finally, an SEC podcast that doesn't dog the Gators at every opportunity they get. These dudes are smart, unbiased, and funny. I used to listen to SDS podcast, but this one has become, hands down, my go-to. So, hey, buddy, keep putting out solid content. Go Gators. So, Matt, I appreciate that, brother. I appreciate all the listeners hanging out with us. And if you would give us a rating on iTunes, that really does help. If not, who cares, man? Just hang out.
All right, Shane, I think that's going to do it. I'll catch you on the next one. Thanks for joining me as always, and thank you everyone out there for tuning in. We really appreciate it.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.